I remember when I was young how people kept their word. Do you remember the good old days when people kept their word? When they made a promise or a commitment and they honored their word? They might say something and then shake on it, and their word was good. You knew that they would do what they promised or what they committed to. Today it is different. Friends, I want to talk about keeping your word and keeping your promises. Do you do that? In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, if you'll turn there with me, I want to begin with Ecclesiastes 5, 2 through 7. Thank you for joining us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. I want to talk about some things that Solomon says here and then go into a lesson that I've entitled Idle Words. Jesus talks about every idle word we will give an account of, Matthew 12, 36 and 37. Do you keep your word, or do we say things and not really mean it? I believe there are two extremes that we need to avoid in life. I believe we need to avoid frivolous promises and commitments where we say things but we don't really mean it. And then we need to avoid the other extreme where we're not going to make an oath or a promise for any reason whatsoever. What does the Bible have to say about oaths, swearing, and vows? How important is it for you to keep your word? Well, in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 2, Solomon writes, "Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream comes with a multitude of business, and a fool's voice with a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou vowest. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice, and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams there are vanities, and in many words, but fear thou God." Solomon is talking about the person who just hastily and rashly says things, promises things, utters things, makes commitments, and has no intention of keeping it. It's better to keep our mouth shut and not say that we're going to do this or that than to say it and not keep our word. We need to be people of our word. And that has gone by the wayside today. Today, people say all kinds of things to maybe be impressive at the moment or get them through a situation at the moment, but they have no intention of actually doing that. And so it becomes idle words. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, "I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." I don't believe idle words are limited to oaths and promises and swearing, but it would certainly include that, where people say things and they don't mean it. And we need to be people of our word. So let's look at what the Bible teaches about this matter. First of all, I'd like to define some terms as they are used in the Word of God. Let's look at the word oath, let's look at the word swear, and let's look at the word vow. An oath is a verbal confirmation of a statement or promise. Oaths, for example, in the Old Testament take on a number of different forms. The person might say, "I adjure you," 1 Kings 22:16. "May God do to me," 1 Samuel 3:17. as your soul lives, 1 Samuel 17:55. It's an added statement to what you're about to say or make a commitment to. In the New Testament, a number of related Greek words are used for an oath. And we find different individuals making oaths in the New Testament. An oath could take on a number of different characteristics. An oath could be conditional, where there are some conditions that must be met for the oath to be fulfilled. So the party who makes the oath may be exempted under certain circumstances, or if certain conditions aren't met. If Rahab did not get her family in her house and put the red cord out the window and be ready for the Israelites to come, then Joshua said, we're exempt from saving you or helping you, Joshua 2:17-20. But if you meet those conditions, if you keep those conditions, then we'll keep our word. Could be conditional. It could be unconditional. No conditions whatsoever. Just a statement or a promise, regardless of what somebody else may or may not do. An oath could be binding on later generations. An oath could be a purification oath. This was made at the tabernacle to proclaim one's innocence. Exodus 22:8, Numbers 5:5. So an oath is a verbal confirmation of a statement. In the Bible, the Lord, for example, could take an oath. He takes an oath by himself in Hebrews 6:13. So let me turn over there and read that. We find the Lord making an oath, and I wanted to make the point that God is spoken of as doing these things, and we need to follow his pattern. God, of course, when he says and makes a commitment or promise, he keeps his word. Hebrews 6:13, for men swear by the greater, and in every dispute of theirs, the oath is final for confirmation. That's where we get our definition. Wherein God, being minded to show more abundantly unto the heirs of the promise, Abraham and others, the immutability of his counsel, interposed with an oath that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement who have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope set before us. So God does not lie, and that gives us hope and comfort and consolation. So even the Lord does that. The Lord's oaths benefit his people. But the Lord can also make oaths to threaten punishment for the evildoer. In the New Testament, there are oaths that are made. Peter made one, Mark 14:71. Paul, Romans 1:9. God, we've already seen Hebrews 6:13-17. And so, an oath is very important. Jesus even taught about it with regard to the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Matthew 5:33. Again, you have heard that it was said of them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by the heaven, for it is the throne of God, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, for thou shalt not make one hair white or black. But let your speech be yes, yes, no, no, and whatsoever more than these is of the evil one. And we're going to talk about that later, that Jesus is not saying don't ever make an oath. He's telling people just simply to keep their word. They don't have to say yes and then back it up with a bunch of empty swearing. Just say yes or no and mean it. The second word, swear, is a formal statement or affirmation of one's word, a promise or intent. in the presence of God and others. Swearing was used in making a covenant. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 16, let's turn over there, when Abraham was told to offer up his son Isaac. Genesis 22:15, and the angel of Jehovah called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, saith Jehovah, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. So I have sworn that I am going to bless you. And that's a covenant. There's other examples in the Old Testament. Swearing was used in making an oath. We already saw that with regard to Joshua talking to Rahab the harlot. Swearing was also used in making a vow. In Numbers chapter 30, if you'll turn with me there, the law concerning Old Testament vows. This is the thing which Jehovah has commanded. When a man vows a vow unto Jehovah or swears an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. And just to make an overall statement again, friends, both in the Old and New Testament, the statement is when you say something, keep your word. That's a principle in both the Old and New Testament. If you're not going to keep it, don't say it. And we're going to see some examples of modern day promises and commitments that we need to be keeping. But if you make a vow, keep it. So we find that swearing was used in making vows. Swearing took on a number of different forms, and it was accompanied sometimes by symbolic gestures or solemn acts. But it is keeping your word. And swearing was not to involve taking the Lord's name in vain. Deuteronomy 5:11, 6:13, 10:20. Swearing falsely, which is perjury, was a sin. Leviticus 6:3-5 and other Bible passages. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul is talking about different ones who are breaking the law and what the law is made for. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless, unruly, for ungodly and sinners, for the unholy, profane, for murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for abusers of themselves with men, for men stealers, for liars, for false swearers, and if there be any other thing contrary to the sound doctrine according to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. These things are contrary to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. False swearers. So, an oath. Number two, swearing. And number three, vow. A vow is a solemn promise that some gift or service will be given to God. One might swear to or make an oath with another person, but one vowed only to God. And vows throughout Israel's history are found in a number of different places. The patriarchs, Genesis 28, 20 through 22, the Exodus, Numbers 21, 2, the judges, Judges 11, verse 30, Jephthah. During the monarchy, 2 Samuel 15, 7 through following. The prophets, Isaiah 19, 21, Jeremiah 44, 25. Different ones are making vows, and they're voluntary. But once they're made, they're binding. Keep your word. We read that in Ecclesiastes 5, Numbers chapter 30. Keep your word. And they're not to be made rashly for this reason. When you say that, keep your word. And there was a day when that was common among people, but today that has gone by the wayside. But friend, I'm encouraging you to be different. Follow the word of God. Proverbs 20, verse 25. It is a snare to a man rashly to say it is holy, and after vows to make inquiry. Don't make a vow and then start asking questions about what you're supposed to do. Know what you need to do ahead of time before you make that vow and keep it. Sometimes vows were made with regard to persons, property, sacrifices, praising to God. There's a number of different passages. Vows were often made in times of distress. 1 Samuel 1:11, Hannah makes a vow, I'll give my son back to you, Lord. Sometimes they were made out of habit. Sometimes they were made at yearly feasts, Leviticus 23:38. Paul kept a vow even after he had become a Christian, Acts 18, verse 18, Acts 21, 23. So, even after becoming a Christian, he was following that Old Testament principle of once you make a vow, keep it. And so that lets us know today as a Christian that those principles of vows, oaths, swearing, even under the old law, those principles are repeated in the New Testament and for us today. Keep your word. So when oaths, swearing, and vows, involve a promise or a commitment made in the sight of others and God, we need to perform that. When we make a promise, have a performance. In the Word of God, there are examples of some promises and commitments that have been made. I just wanted to look at a few of them to help us see the importance of keeping our word. The three tribes that were to locate on the eastern side of the Jordan, they promised to cross over the Jordan and fight with their brethren in taking Canaan land. And they did that. They made that promise in Numbers 32, and they kept their promise in Joshua chapter 2. And that's the famous passage where Moses says that if you don't keep your word, your sins will find you out. Keep your word. Jephthah made a promise to sacrifice to God if he would be victorious, and he kept that promise in Judges chapter 11. Herod promised to give anything up to the half of his kingdom to the daughter of Herodias in Mark chapter 6, and he kept that promise, and it was difficult because they asked for the head of John the Baptist, and he, for the sake of his oath, the text says, he kept his word and he cut off the head of John the Baptist. And so you got to be careful what you promise. People are going to watch and see if you're going to tell the truth and keep your word, or if you're going to be a hypocrite and a liar and a false swearer. Peter promised that he would follow the Lord, but later he did not perform that. Mark chapter 14, verse 71. And Peter meant well. He had a good attitude and desire to follow Jesus, but you have to ask yourself, when you're swearing and making these promises, are you able to keep that? When he was being questioned, are you one of Jesus' followers? Mark 14:71, Peter began to curse and to swear. I know not this man of whom you speak. And straightway the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word how that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Yeah, you don't keep your word, you're going to regret that later. So let's be people who keep our words. What is God's view toward a broken or unkept promise or commitment? People today don't care anything. But what does God care about that? That's who we need to be thinking about. Well, we've already seen some statements that indicate that. Leviticus 19:12, and you shall not swear by my name falsely and profane the name of thy God. I am Jehovah. We already read Numbers 30, verse 2, when a man vows or swears, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. We find that same thing in Deuteronomy chapter 23. If you'll turn with me there, Deuteronomy 23, verse 21. It's repeated there. When thou shalt vow a vow unto Jehovah thy God, thou shalt not be slack to pay it. For Jehovah thy God will surely require it of thee, and it shall be sin in thee. Sin. Oh, so when we don't keep our commitments and promises, here's the Israelite, what happens? It's not just a small thing. Well, I changed my mind. I didn't do what I said I was going to do. No big deal. No, it is a big deal. It's sin. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin unto thee. That which is gone out of thy lips, thou shalt observe and do. According as thou hast vowed unto Jehovah thy God, a freewill offering, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Whatever comes out of your mouth, do it. Well, I don't know if I'm going to do it. Well, then don't say it. We already read 1 Timothy 1:10 that false swearers, it's contrary to the gospel of the blessed God. Also, we find in Romans chapter 1 and verse 31, if you'll turn with me there, one of the sins listed by Paul in the Gentile world of his day, and these things are still going on today. They're still sin. One, in there with all kinds of terrible things, such as murder and other kinds of terrible things. Verse 31, covenant breakers. Covenant breakers. We need to think about that, friends. And one area where a lot of people don't realize what's going on here is in the area of signing your name to a covenant, a promise, and then backing out. And you need to be careful with regard to debt, for example. You've got a credit card, and people will rack up credit, and the contract that you signed says that you're going to pay for those things, and then you don't. You've broken your word. Well, I'll just, you know, file bankruptcy, you know, and just write it off. And a lot of people do that, but they've broken their word. And covenant breakers. And marriage is another covenant that people say, I do, and God binds them together. But then later they mean, I don't. And they stop keeping their vows that they made before God. They are covenant breakers, and it's a sin. And breaking a promise or a covenant is evil, Matthew 5:37. It's lying. It's false swearing, 1 Timothy 1:10, and will bring the offender under judgment or condemnation. Turn with me to James chapter 5 and verse 12. James is writing to brethren. These things that we are reading, the principles in the Old Testament, are the same in the New Testament with regard to this subject that we're studying this morning. We've got to keep our word. James 5:12, but above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by the heaven nor by the earth, nor by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, that ye fall not under judgment. James is condemning extra things that are said beyond saying yes or no. He's not saying don't ever make a vow or an oath or a commitment. He's simply teaching the principle of keep your word, and you don't have to say more than yes or no. Just say that and keep it. So we need to understand the importance of being people who keep our word. Let me mention before we close this morning some principles to keep in mind, and then I want to close with the question, are you keeping your promises and your commitments? What are some principles when doing this? Well, first of all, you don't have to make a promise. We just read that in Deuteronomy 23, 22. If you don't make a vow, it's fine. If thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. You don't have to commit to certain things. You don't have to commit to someone in marriage. You could live a single life. That would be fine. You don't have to commit to making payments on a car or a house. You don't have to do that. So keep that in mind. And even in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 mentions that same thing. But if you do make a promise, don't make it rashly. Remember Jephthah, and we don't have time to look at him in Judges chapter 11, or Herod in Mark chapter 6. I believe that those individuals made a rash promise. They weren't thinking through everything that they were committing to. Now, they kept their word, which was good, but in both cases, it involved death. Jephthah, that particular story and account is debated as to actually what he did with his daughter. But they kept their word. And so, number two, if you make a promise or a commitment, don't make it rashly. Think about it. And number three, when you say yes or no, mean it. That's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 5 and James chapter 5, verse 12. Say what you mean and mean what you say. One thing to help us understand this swear not at all is the background that Jews had two kinds of oaths. They felt that some were binding when God's name was used, others were non-binding. And Jesus and James condemned the latter, the frivolous and evasive swearing that didn't really matter to the Jews. They need to keep their word. So I don't believe Jesus and James were condemning or prohibiting all kinds of oaths, just the kind that were frivolous. And you can read about that in Matthew 23:16 and following, where they would swear by the temple and the gold on the temple and that type of thing. I want to close this morning by asking, are you keeping your promises and commitments? Am I doing that? When we become a Christian, we make a commitment to Christ to follow Him and put Him before all others. Luke 9:62. When we get married, we make a commitment to our spouse, and God joins us together, and let not man put asunder. Matthew 19:6. We don't need to break our word and break our covenant. It's a covenant. Malachi 2:14 and Proverbs 2:17. It's a covenant. When we say amen after a prayer, we're basically making a promise or a commitment to what was said in that prayer. 1 Corinthians 14:16. Our commitment to Christians in the local church. You need to become a Christian, friend, and be a member of a local church belonging to Christ. And there are one another passages that cause us to make commitments to each other. We need to be fulfilling them. Our commitments to our children. Our commitments to God to be His people. Friends, keep your word. Jesus said, by your words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Let's be people who keep our word. Thank you for being with us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. I hope you've enjoyed the Bible study, and I hope that you'll have a good day.